Well, when did former Senator Stephen Parry know he was a dual citizen, and who did he tell? The ABC understands that Parry confided in a member of cabinet as far back as August, but was told not to go public. The revelation comes as backbench support grows for an audit of parliamentarians' eligibility. Minister Scott Ryan is with me. He's the Special Minister of State and the Minister assisting the Prime Minister for Cabinet. Welcome.
Good evening, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
So did Senator Parry raise this with you?
No. As you might know, I was on medical leave for quite a period over July, August and September. So, no, it wasn't raised with me.
Who did he speak with?
Well, there's a report out there, and I don't want to be drawn into commenting on a report because I haven't heard from Senator Parry or any of my colleagues. So there's a report there. I don't know.
If he did confide in a colleague, as has been reported, a cabinet colleague, what is the obligation of the cabinet colleague?
Well, I don't really want to get drawn into hypotheticals.
It's not a hypothetical.
It is a hypothetical here.
No,
because there's a
if
report.
If he tells a cabinet colleague, what should the cabinet colleague do?
If is a hypothetical, Patricia. If means it's a hypothetical question. I don't know whether he did, so I'm not going to be drawn into conversation around what may or may not have happened about something we don't know to be true.
Okay. The ABC is reporting that Senator Parry told a cabinet colleague and senior colleagues that he was a dual citizen as far back as August, was told to keep quiet. Should he have been told to keep quiet?
Well, I don't know if that is true, Patricia. I'm not going to be drawn into a conversation around a report that I have not heard from Senator Parry on. And if Senator Parry said that, then that might be a time to have the conversation, but it's a report.
What advice would you have given if someone had asked you?
Well, I was on my back quite unwell at the time.
But if you were asked, texted you, I'm a dual citizen, Scott Ryan, what do I do?
The way I acted with respect to former Senator Day was that as I became aware and I read all this out to the Senate, I conducted an investigation over a couple of months and then I announced it to the Senate. But it did take some time to do that. I mean, and I went day by day when I spoke to the Senate about why I had learnt something in August and was bringing it to them in October.
So are there obligations on cabinet ministers to kind of, I don't know, in all workforces in Australia, I'm sure people listening will relate to this, you manage it up. You don't sort of say, keep quiet. You manage it up.
As a general rule, I actually try to manage problems myself so I don't have to manage them up. People more senior than me are usually even busier, and I'm fairly busy. So a successful person in business, politics or whatever actually tries to solve problems themselves.
Saying stay quiet isn't solving it though, is it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we should be managing a problem up. I think we should be solving it and addressing it. There is an obligation upon each member of parliament and each candidate when they sign the form to ensure they comply with Section 44 of the Constitution. Now, the meaning of that was substantially clarified last Friday, where the High Court said it doesn't matter if you don't know, you are still in breach of Section 44 if you hold a foreign citizenship. That wasn't the same as has been the case for the previous couple of decades.
Kevin Andrews has come out today and said he wants an audit too of all MPs to see if they're dual citizens. Will this be debated in the joint party room? Because there are now growing numbers of coalition MPs who want this to happen.
Well, any member of parliament, any backbench member is free to raise any issue they want in the meeting of the coalition party room. So I can't speak on behalf of any of my colleagues. But I'm not sure what people mean when they say audit.
Check out if people are dual citizens.
Well, no, because the only competent authority that can make a ruling and a determination is the High Court of Australia, sitting as the Court of Disputed Returns. Unlike other countries, we don't let politicians judge each other. If someone has a doubt, a question about a member of parliament, they can raise it. There's a legal action that citizens can take as well. But in every case where this has become apparent, the parliament has referred the person to the court. The system is working.
Kevin Andrews says Australians are looking for strong and decisive leadership. Is the Prime Minister delivering it on this because he won't allow an audit and there are question marks around the rest of the parliament?
No, there aren't.
But there are because Stephen Parry came out just this week. We thought it was settled on Friday and it wasn't.
No, that is proof the system is working. The idea that we don't have a presumption that people have acted in good faith, effectively a presumption of innocence.
But he didn't act in good faith.
Well, some people may say that. Others may say that as soon as the High Court ruled, he came out publicly.
You've given me two scenarios. What do you say?
Well, I think it could be interpreted either way. I don't like to judge my colleagues. I imagine it's been a very difficult couple of days for Stephen. He's a colleague and friend, and I've lost a couple of colleagues over the last week who I count as friends in Fiona Nash. But the system is working because in this parliament we've had more referrals, including one I made for Senator Day, and more new rulings from the High Court on the meaning of this clause of the Constitution than we've had ever before.
If you're just tuning in, the Special Minister of State, Scott Ryan, is my guest. And our number, if you want to text in, you're already busy doing it, but come on, I know there's more of you. 0418 226 576. Someone says, what on earth is managing up? Well, you know, telling your boss, basically, telling them that there's an issue. That's what I was referring to. Wesfarmers Chief Executive Richard Goyder says Stephen Parry's dual citizenship drama will impact consumer confidence. That's pretty serious.
Well, he also said that there shouldn't be an audit. And that Parliament should focus on issues
of national
importance.
I'm asking about the consumer confidence.
No, I'm just putting it in context. Look, he's in a better position than I am to judge consumer confidence because he employs more than 100,000 Australians and actually leads a large consumer business. So his comments sort of speak for themselves. There's no point in me making an observation on that. It's not my expertise.
Okay. Kevin Andrews says the AEC should do this audit. One of the reasons he says is that it will stop the further erosion of confidence in Parliament. Do you accept that it has taken the sheen off the Parliament?
I don't know how much sheen Parliament had, to be honest. Look, the AEC has no legal authority to conduct the audit, and they've got something on their website that outlines exactly why they can't. They're constrained by the Electoral Act. They can't knock out nominees when they nominate for election on these grounds. They can't conduct an audit of members of Parliament. It simply lacks the legal authority or the competence to do so.
Let me ask some things now that are very specific to your portfolio,
sure.
Not just political questions. Five senators now ineligible. Who's liable for the costs of their offices, staff and so on? Are they required to pay it back?
So under the Financial Management Acts we had, we learnt this with Senators Day and Callaghan. Officials in the Department of Finance will make an assessment on whether there is a debt, if so, how much, and whether it should be pursued for things like office costs, travel costs and travel allowance, printing costs, those sort of things. In the Department of the Senate or the Department of the House of Representatives, they are responsible for the payment of salaries and the electorate allowance each member of Parliament gets. They will make the same assessment. In the case of Mr. Day and Mr. Carlton, they both received letters from both of those departments and it had an amount. We didn't disclose that amount. Officials make that decision. In the case of Senator Day, he then applied for a waiver of that debt. That came to me as the Special Minister of State. I granted it and I explained why to the Senate in May.
So that's your precedent?
No, well, I have to consider legally every application on its merits. I have not received an application.
So we shouldn't assume that if people apply for waivers, including Senator Parry, others, that you...
Well, I can't make an observation on an application I haven't received, and I've been given very strict advice when I took on that responsibility, because I do that for Centrelink, Medicare, tax, a whole range of government programs.
Yeah, and a few people have made this point, and I actually think it's a really good one. You know, with Centrelink, for instance, if you get overpaid, you've got to pay it back. Why don't politicians have to do the same thing? Why is there two... sort of categories of people?
I get applications for people to have debts waived right across government, including Centrelink and Medicare and the tax office. And they're all treated on their merits as individual applications.
So you're saying you waive others as well?
I'm saying I have to treat every application on the basis of the unique circumstances of that application.
The recount for Fiona Nash's Senate spot is on Monday. Holly Hughes is next on the ticket. Will she likely take the spot?
Look, the best guess is that at 10 a.m. Monday, when the counts are conducted in Queensland, New South Wales and Western Australia, the only real change will be the next person on the party's tickets. In New South Wales is a joint Liberal National ticket, and so it would likely be Holly Hughes.
Could she be sitting in the Senate when it next sits in a couple of weeks' time, that quickly?
It's possible. So what will happen on Monday is the AEC will conduct the count. After that, they will file papers with the High Court. They won't make an announcement about the result, but scrutineers will be there. So I imagine the Twitter news service will probably be active. And I understand the High Court will sit again next Friday. If it rules and issues a ruling to effectively put those people into the Senate, in place of the vacancies, then they would, in the normal course of events, be sworn in the following Monday.
Okay. National Senator John Williams says he'd like to be the next Senate president. Are you going to back him? Give him a go? Yeah, he wants to do it for, you know, 19 months or something.
Traditionally, the position of president of the Senate has gone to the Liberal Party when the coalition's in government.
And does that, you know, traditions? Do you have to go with traditions?
Long-standing practice, and I doubt it will change.
Okay. Just on another issue, Tony Abbott will deliver a speech and he's going to say lots of things and he'll say that the same-sex marriage debate has activated the beginnings of a conservative activist group to rival GetUp. Is that what's happened?
Well, I think it'd be a bit premature to say that. I'm a get-up skeptic, and their attacks on the independence of the Electoral Commission last week were unprecedented, and I've never seen a union, a political party, do what they have last week. So I don't know if I'd use that as the measure of what I would like our movement to be. That said, anyone that wants to get involved in politics, I encourage on any side, and anyone that wants to get involved in Liberal or Conservative politics, get involved in the Liberal Party, because that's how you deliver government.
But has this been what this has all been about for some people, to try and set up a sort of right-wing activist group around same-sex marriage?
I think some people have used it for trying to build, whether it's information and data or campaigns. People use different campaigns for different things. Get Up and the left use other issues.
So you think there have been conservatives that have tried to use this issue of same-sex marriage to galvanise a bigger movement?
I'm always hard to assign motive. I think one could say, is there a consequence of getting people involved in a political campaign? They might get involved in more campaigns. Yes. But I don't necessarily want to assign a motive to it.
He says that if the no vote reaches 40%, then it would be a moral victory for conservatives and for marriage, traditional marriage. What do you think?
I've heard the case about moral victories when you might win more votes or more seats, but the other side ends up in government. Look, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to politics. Whether it's a referendum, a plebiscite or an election, there's a winner and there's a loser, and it's decided by the simple result.
So that wouldn't be a moral victory if the no case got 40%?
I don't know how it would be a moral victory, no. I just don't see the argument there.
Just finally, you're working on a foreign donations bill. Yep. Is this going to be ready
This will be in Parliament by the end of the year. I made that commitment earlier. It is a target we will meet. The reason it is a complex bill is that we've committed to ensuring that there's no foreign money in Australian politics, not just political parties, but other foreign campaigning. We can't have a situation where one TV ad's paid for by foreign money just because it's not paid for by a political party. And so balancing that with the legitimate right of those who get involved in politics in other ways is very technical, but it'll be in Parliament in the last sitting fortnight, if not released earlier.
Will charities, unions and you know, other groups be included in this kind of foreign donation?
All political expenditure, and there are categories of this in the Electoral Act, we will prevent foreign donations funding political expenditure in Australia, as covered by the Electoral Act.
Scott Ryan, we've run out of time, but thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Patricia. Lovely to be here.